Hello, this is your Sun Sounds volunteer reader Deborah McFadder in Flagstaff with Northland Views. Today is Tuesday, May 12th, 2020. I'll be reading some selections from the Verde Independent that were published on Monday, May 11th. First story is Westcott to ask for 7% teacher pay raise for fiscal year 21. There's a picture of a man sitting in an office with shelves of large books behind him and a globe. He's wearing a pale gray button-up shirt and has a nice smile on his face. From Cottonwood. Thursday, Mike Westcott will ask the Mingus Union School Board to approve a 7% wage increase for the district's teachers for fiscal year 2020-2021. The school board will meet May 14 at 6 p.m. As with the board's April meeting, Thursday's meeting will be held using Zoom technology. The meeting's ID and password will be included with the board's agenda, which will be posted at mingusunion.com within 24 hours of the meeting. In addition to asking for a 7% increase to the salaries of his certified staff, teachers, Westcott will lobby for 7% pay increases for the district's counselors, classified staff, and administration. With Governor Doug Ducey's promise 2 years ago to increase teacher wages statewide by 20% over 3 years, Mingus Union would be increasing teacher wages 23% over 3 years if the board approves Westcott's 7% wage increase request. A year ago, Mingus Union teachers received a 5.9% increase in fiscal year 2019-2020, a 10.1% increase in fiscal year 2018-2019. The proposed wage increase, Westcott said, has us feeling really positive. Quote, some of my staff asked how that feels with the uncertainty, Westcott said. This is the final funding of the Ducey dollars. We won't see those additional funds next year. What will we see for raises in the next year? That's anyone's guess, end quote. But it's not just money from the state that allowed Mingus Union to provide pay raises district-wide, Westcott said. Quote, it's good fiscal management. We take a cautious approach, he said, end quote. It's also the result of what Westcott called natural attrition. Quote, we've seen some of our seasoned, most experienced staff move on the past few years, end quote. Westcott also said he is not asking for the 7% wage increase for himself, but instead will negotiate his contract with the district's governing board, quote, either in a special May meeting or in our June meeting, end quote. For the second consecutive month, there will be no call to the public, Westcott said. However, anyone interested in asking questions or making comments may email Westcott at miwestcott@muhs.com or call 928-634-8640. Continuing with local news, there's an article written by Vito Starinskas. Restaurants, retail stores reopen with precautions. A color photograph shows some people standing outside of a storefront. It looks like they're cleaning the windows. And above the doorway is a sign that says, Welcome to Goodwill, your neighborhood store. Cottonwood. Restaurants in the Verde Valley reopen Monday for dine-in services, joining retail stores and salons, which reopened after being shut down because of the coronavirus crisis more than a month ago. Businesses are being required to reopen with new safety recommendations, including enhanced sanitation and physical distancing. Saturday, Cottonwood retail stores, which have been closed during the pandemic, were open and parking lots full of customers. Monday, the Haunted Hamburger Group planned to open all six of its restaurants in Cottonwood and Jerome for inside dining. The Colt Grill in Old Town Cottonwood was also advertising on social media. They plan to open at 8 a.m. Monday for inside dining with breakfast, lunch, and dinner. quote, "We'll have everything continually sparkling clean for you and the usual fantastic barbecue," end quote. The main stage in Cottonwood also announced on Facebook that they will be opening on Wednesday. Quote, "We will be practicing social distancing and following all the recommended CDC guidelines in opening and operating, including limiting parties of 10 or more, distancing all tables 6 feet apart, and limiting occupancy at this time. We will be offering dine-in table service inside main stage and on our patio," end quote, stated the main stage Facebook page. On May 4th, the governor's executive order allowed cosmetologists and barbershops to resume appointment-based services on May 8th, and restaurants and coffee shops to resume dine-in services with physical distancing measures on Monday, May 11th. The governor's office also released additional guidelines to keep customers and employees safe. A popular deli in Cottonwood opted not to begin in-store dining Monday, but will have dining on their patio. Two other Cottonwood restaurants indicated they would not open for in-restaurant dining on Monday and continue to do takeout for now. A staff article about Yavapai County, county supervisors, no public attendance at meetings until July 5. At its May 6th regular teleconference meeting, the Yavapai County Board of Supervisors voted to extend the county's emergency declaration for another 60 days. Quote, "I would like to ask that we extend this out 60 days from today's date instead of the specific date of June 5th, which is only 4 weeks away," end quote, Chairman Craig Brown said. This declaration, which runs through July 5th, can be canceled at any time if the board members feel the COVID-19 crisis has ended, according to a news release from the county. Extending the declaration, while the state of Arizona is also under an emergency declaration, allows the county to receive state and federal funding to cover the additional expenses related to fighting the spread of COVID-19. Public meetings. With the Board of Supervisors' extension of the emergency declaration, in doing so, it extended the closure of all public meetings to the community for an additional 60 days. That's 6-0. Public meetings will remain closed to the public, but anyone can send their comments or concerns to the clerk of the board on current agenda issues, the news release states. Emails should be sent at least 24 hours before a scheduled meeting to clerkofboard.web@yavapai.us. In addition to supervisors' meetings, this closure includes the Planning Commission, Board of Adjustment, and the Board of Building Adjustment and Appeals meetings. The Board of Supervisors continues to show concern and caution when holding public meetings, a news release states. Large groups of people present serious risk during this time of crisis, while everyone works to prevent the spread of the COVID-19 virus. Yavapai County is committed to protecting its citizens and will be reevaluating this decision on an ongoing basis. As soon as direction is given to allow the public to attend public meetings, all cases currently on hold will be re-advertised. Anyone with questions about cases that are currently on hold should contact the Planning Division at 928-771-3214. The following article was written by Jason W. Brooks. Cornville home heavily damaged by fire. There's a photograph, a color photograph, of a house that has obviously been through a fire. There is an air conditioning unit in the driveway in front of it. There's a car that looks like it may have been damaged also. Cornville. Friday, May 8th, at about 3:45 a.m., the Verde Valley Fire District responded to a residential fire in the 11,000th block of Plateau Drive. VVFD was dispatched to a living room on fire assignment. Crews viewed a significant column of smoke while arriving on scene and upgraded to a working fire. On arrival, they made an initial quick-hit attack from outside the structure and then went interior while their water tender set up a water supply. The second engine then pulled a backup or safety line. Cottonwood Fire and Medical Department also arrived and brought their crew up to provide manpower. After the flames were extinguished, an extensive overhaul was performed to make sure no fire was hidden in the attic space. The Verde Valley Fire Inspector was also on scene to investigate the cause of the fire. The investigation is currently ongoing. No one was injured in the incident, but unfortunately, the home has some severe damage. The residence is not habitable at this time. Other agency units responding to this call included a Sedona Fire District engine and water tender, a Verde Valley Ambulance Company ambulance and rehab unit, the Yavapai County Sheriff's Office, the Arizona Crisis Team, and Arizona Public Service. Anyone who has questions can contact the Verde Valley Fire District by calling 928-634-2578. You're tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona, and you're listening to Northland Views. The next article, Council Not Unanimous on City Manager's Budget Adjustments, was written by Jason W. Brooks. A photograph shows a woman sitting at a council table with long dark hair and a pink jacket on. Her name is blurred on the name tag, but you can tell it's a council meeting. Cottonwood. Tuesday's regular Cottonwood City Council meeting clipped along without much discussion or disagreement until City Manager Ron Corbin completed his budget adjustment presentation. Council Member Tosca Henry took exception to Corbin's recent decision to eliminate full-time positions. The Cottonwood City Manager cannot create new positions without council approval, but can eliminate them as a cost savings. Corbin, needing to make up a projected $400,000 shortfall in the fiscal 2020 budget that ends June 30, eliminated the interim recreation center director position, as well as the management analyst job, one full-time librarian position, an administrative assisted position at City Hall, and the permit tech position in community development. Those positions will not exist in fiscal 2021, which begins July 1, unless the council's budget process includes specific inclusion of each one, though budget planning will have to include finding the money to fund those positions. Corbin also decided to furlough 61 city part-time employees through June, though those positions still exist in fiscal year 2021 without council action, and he said he's going to save about $100,000 by not renewing the city's contract with the Cottonwood Chamber of Commerce. Henry's contention was that the city manager's elimination of positions, while technically allowed as part of his job description, should have been done after discussion with the council. Quote, "It is completely within the purview of the city manager to make labor decisions based on daily operations," end quote, Henry said. Quote, "However, when it's in response to a health crisis, we make decisions out of what? Panic or some other irrational basis? Is that the message we want to send to our staff and community, that we make decisions without full data? For me, it is not," end quote. Councilman Doug Hulse was also critical of the elimination of positions. Quote, "I'm very uncomfortable with eliminating positions that end up terminating people before we really know where we sit financially," Hulse said. "It seems to be terminations are not really appropriate under the circumstances. Those positions could have been furloughed. It's tough to bring them back once eliminated," end quote. Corbin began his presentation by pointing out that in his first annual review, he was hired in December 2018, he was told regarding the city's budget that he could, quote, "do better," end quote. Quote, "You guys can always fund the positions that I cut for next year," he said. "I will follow the will of the council. I just took the steps that I felt were prudent based on the information we're likely to have between now and May 21st. Finance Director Kirsten Lennon has been really close to spot on in her projections, but moving that meeting up, we are not as likely to have updated sales tax numbers from the state, end quote. Not all members of the council had criticism for Corbyn's choices. Vice Mayor Michael Matthews said he supports Corbyn's decisions, saying he's willing to give Corbyn a long leash. Quote, I don't disagree with any of the sentiment I've heard from other councillors, but I do stand by and support the difficult decisions that had to be made, Matthews said. Nobody wants to make those. We would have liked to have breezed through this process without touching any of these points. I'm glad I'm not in Corbyn's position. We don't even know how badly we're reeling. It could be worse than projections, end quote. Councilmember Debbie Wilden said she would agree to meet before May 21. However, Mayor Tim Ilinski didn't propose anything other than the council's budget meeting. That meeting is set for 5:30 p.m., Thursday, May 21, in the Cottonwood Community Clubhouse, rather than in an online format. Corbyn said waiting until the May 21st date and using the clubhouse is based on the expectation that Governor Doug Ducey will allow gatherings of as many as 10 people in a room with 6-foot separations by that date. With no property tax, Cottonwood is more dependent on sales tax revenue than some cities and plans its late budget process accordingly. Quote, I believe we are hopefully on the downside of this pandemic, Ilinski said. The state has not been responsive to our requests to get us the numbers more quickly, end quote. The next headline is Mingus Union will air commencement video May 22nd. Caps and gowns mailed out to graduates 2 weeks ago. This was written by Bill Helm, published originally May 8th, 2020. Cottonwood. Because of the COVID-19 pandemic, Mingus Union High School does not plan to hold a traditional commencement ceremony for its class of 2020, Superintendent Mike Westcott explained Thursday in a letter to the district's families. Part of a long list of ways the district plans to celebrate this year's graduating class, Mingus Union is working with Oregon sports production company Virtumensement to create a commencement video that will premiere beginning at 7 p.m. Friday, May 22nd, during the school's traditional graduation time. Quote, with respect to a postponement of graduation ceremonies until June or even July, the MUHS administrative team does not believe such scheduling in this time of great uncertainty is warranted or justified, Westcott wrote in the May 7th letter. We do not want to make promises and raise hopes only to dash those hopes later because we cannot, in good conscience or in compliance with state orders, commence a ceremony with hundreds of individuals gathered in close quarters, end quote. Not a virtual graduation per se. The video, Westcott explained Thursday, is not intended to be a virtual graduation per se, as the videographers will be, quote, capturing elements of what would have occurred during the ceremony, end quote. According to Mingus Union Principal Jeannie G., once the video is completed, the school will own its rights and can share it as much as we'd like. As to which website will be used to broadcast the video, G said there is no, quote, concrete broadcast plan yet, other than the date and time. For $1,995, Mingus Union ordered the gold video package, which includes an integrated principal commencement address, integrated valedictorian or honored guest speeches, up to 5 total speeches included, student profiles with student name, photo, accomplishments, and senior quote, up to 500 students. Commemorative DVDs will be available for purchase. Visit virtumensement.com for more information. Be the Light. As a special symbol of both hope and solidarity, Mingus Union High School will participate in the Be the Light movement to honor its graduating class each Friday through May 22nd. Mingus football stadium lights will be turned on at 8:20 p.m., 2020 military time, and left on for 20 minutes and 20 seconds. Mingus Union asks that the school's families and community members also turn on their porch lights during this time to honor the class of 2020. Delay in yearbook delivery. G also said this week that layoffs and furloughs at Life Touch mean that the yearbook vendor is not able to guarantee a delivery time for the class of 2020 yearbook. Quote, "We are not expecting the books to arrive before school is out for summer and apologize on behalf of the situation that is out of everyone's control," end quote, Life Touch wrote in an email to G. But caps and gowns were mailed to Mingus Union graduates a couple of weeks ago, Westcott said. The article I will read next was written by Vitos Durinskas, Salons Back in Business in Arizona, Verde Valley. There's a photograph of two women sitting in beauty parlor chairs, smiling. It's well lit, has a light colored floor and white walls. There's a clock on the wall. Cottonwood. Normally, Candy Don's opening of her new salon business on Main Street in Cottonwood would be just another new business opening in town. During a pandemic, it's front page news. Don said when the Sedona salon she was working at downsized in April, quote, "I basically decided to open a salon when things reopened," end quote. So the Sedona hairdresser, without a job, has been preparing for her opening for a month. Governor Doug Ducey gave her the go-ahead to open the Maine by Maine hair salon with his executive order issued last Monday. The order allowed all Arizona cosmetologists and barber shops to resume appointment-based services. Dawn found a space on Main Street and started getting it ready with the help of Copper Mountain Millworks. Her first appointment was 10 a.m. Friday, and she said she's booked for the next 2.5 weeks. A lot of people in the Verde Valley need haircuts because of the closures, she agreed. Quote, "One of the girls that worked with me actually came with me," end quote, Dawn said. The duo decided to go their own way, and Dawn opened her own salon in a former massage studio and rock gift shop. "I felt it would be a perfect salon for me," she said. The business location is near the entrance of Riverfront Park, and she said it has plenty of room for social distancing inside. Dawn has been a hairdresser for 10 years at Salon Vertu, and Amanda Campbell has been a hairdresser for 8 years in Sedona. Dawn said she has prepared for the social distancing precautions mentioned in the governor's order. She and Campbell will wear masks, and customers will be asked to wear their own masks, or she has masks for them. Clients will have to have their temperature taken. The business has effective sanitation soaps, and brushes and combs will be soaked and sanitized. Since it's just her and Campbell, they will be able to maintain the 6-foot distancing recommendation in the business. They are spacing out clients' appointments to have more time for sanitizing. Quote, "I take it seriously," Dawn said. They are open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., 683 North Main Street, Suite 1A in Cottonwood. The phone is 928-852-0999. "What a time to open a new business," Dawn said. "This is the thing I keep telling people. It could be the worst time, but it could be the best time." Nancy Grigsby, the owner of Central Barbershop located in the Food City Plaza and who has been operating in Cottonwood for more than 42 years, said she reopened on Friday also. The shop gives haircuts for men, women, and children and does traditional barbering. The original owner opened the barbershop in 1978. She was open for normal hours on Friday and said she would try opening Monday, Wednesday, and Friday next week instead of every day. That would be this week. Quote, "Until I feel this out a little bit," end quote. Jen Maynard said Barbifer, a barbershop in Jerome, will be opening on May 15th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. for haircuts only, and both the client and barber will be wearing masks. Maynard is the manager at Pussifer's shop, where Barbifer is located. The Pussifer retail shop will open on May 20 from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Quote, again, allowing and following CDC guidelines, personnel and customers must wear masks as well as disinfect hands upon entry, end quote, Maynard said. Lisa Cook, who has been operating Lisa Cook Salon on Main Street in Cottonwood for more than 4 years, said she was open Friday. She said a lot of people are showing interest in getting haircuts. Quote, it's like a feeding frenzy, end quote. Cook will be open her normal hours, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Tuesday through Saturday. They can book online or call 928-254-0888. She is a cosmetologist and does hair, makeup, facials, nails, and waxing. Quote, I do everything, end quote. Cook said her customers are expressing an interest in coming in, but a few people who have canceled. It's a mixed bag, she said. Some people don't care about it at all. Some are scared to death. And some people who are neutral about it, but are taking precautions, she said. Since she is a one-person salon, she only has one person inside at a time for social distancing, she said. She also has a steam cleaner that she is using in between customers and is making things, quote, super clean. I was already a germ freak before, end quote, she said. I'm your volunteer reader, Deborah McFadder in Flagstaff. This was Northland Views. Thank you for listening. Next on Sun Sounds of Arizona, it's the Prescott Daily Courier.